Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Well, is it the end of an era for Fine Gael is the question. Because as we had at the start of yesterday's show, the announcement from Kieran Cannon that he is not standing in Galway East in the next election. It's a pleasure to welcome to the Pat Kenny Show Hugh O'Connell, Deputy Political Editor of the Irish Independent, to find out what is causing this exodus in Fine Gael. Hugh, is it rats off a sinking ship?
Well, that could be one way of looking at it, Ivan. But I think if you look at the individual circumstances of each of the 10 TDs who are not running in the next election, they all have their reasons, and their departures are all explainable. I suppose you have, for example, the likes of Charlie Flanagan, who's been in the Dáil since the late 1980s, who's stepping down because he's been there an awful long time. And others like Michael Creed, for example, have been there for a long time. David Stanton, I think, would be another one. And then you have kind of the newer generation of TDs, the likes of Brendan Griffin, for example, who's stepping down, I think, primarily for family reasons, and John Paul Phelan stepping down for health reasons. But I think if you look at the last two TDs who've announced they're stepping down, Kieran Cannon yesterday, Paul Keogh, your successor in Wexford, for, as it happens, who announced he was stepping down a couple of weeks ago, they have both cited as part of the reason why they stood down this toxicity in politics that exists nowadays. And I think that is increasingly a factor for politicians getting out of this game, and increasingly a problem for political parties in terms of attracting new candidates. But look, there's no doubt, to go back to your question, that there is a narrative now around Fine Gael that an awful lot of TDs are getting out when it looks as if the party is headed for more seat losses in the next general election. They have 34 seats in the current Dáil. That's down from 50 in the last Dáil. And I suspect it will be difficult for them to return that number, or even increase that number, even though there are 15 more seats in the next Dáil. Given the number of incumbents stepping down, incumbency matters in Irish politics, name recognition matters in Irish politics, and notwithstanding the fact they might have good young candidates waiting in the wings to run in place of some of these TDs who are stepping down, they will find it challenging to get elected because they won't have that sort of political backstory and knowledge to get elected.
These things go in cycles, and there was a huge influx when Fine Gael had a landslide win in 2011 after the Troika and so on. Was it 76 seats they won? They're now down to 35 and sinking rapidly. But there are a couple of things that I have to ask you about. One is, you remember before Leo was leader, there was this thing called the Gang of Five, which were effectively a cabal trying to plot Leo's accession to the throne. And people like Owen Murphy, John Paul Phelan, Michael Darcy, Brendan Griffin were in that. Isn't it amazing that Leo hasn't been able to sustain people who were really, really committed to him? He isn't able to sustain those relationships.
That is very true. It is striking the degree to which those who were his strongest supporters and allies, and those who were central to his election as leader in 2017, have now left. I mean, Owen Murphy, he's not even taking the decision not to run again. He actually resigned from the Dáil, barely a year after he had been re-elected in Dublin Bay South. As I said, John Paul Phelan, health reasons, primarily his reason for stepping down. He had a heart attack a couple of years ago. Brendan Griffin, obviously family reasons. But the likes of Michael Darcy, he resigned from the Shannons because he got a better offer from the private sector in 2020. So it is really striking the degree to which Leo Varadkar has lost an awful lot of his allies within the parliamentary party. And those that remain, I think, or are planning to stay on. They might be loyal to Leo Varadkar, but it would be difficult for them to corral sufficient support, perhaps, for him after the next election, particularly in circumstances where Fine Gael could have fewer seats than they have right now. I mean, in that situation, it would be difficult. You know, we're projecting forward a little bit here, but if that situation were to arise, it would be difficult, I think, for Leo Varadkar to hang on as leader if he so wished to do so. And we shouldn't forget as well, Ivan, that you know this is the 10th, I think, or the 11th TD to say that they're not running again. And we are expecting more. I think, you know, Michael Maloney in the paper today.
Let's just dissect that a bit, because first of all, Bernard Durkin is quite aged. I mean, he was elected to the Dáil the same day I was in 1981. You know, in Kildare North, that is a question. Joe Carey and Clare is another question in my mind. Yeah. You obviously have Michael Ring, who's over 70 in Mayo, and he's moved from categorically ruling out not stepping down, you know what I mean, that he was going to run, to now being more open-minded. And I thought if the IMF boat sailed for Pascal, he'd be on it. And I also hear persistent rumours that Simon Coveney has moved house to Cove out of the South Central constituency. He's promised his wife he'll leave politics. Could there be more?
Yeah, I mean, as you say, Michael Ring has moved from categoric to less categoric. If you read his comment to my colleague Sam Maloney in the Irish Independent today, he hasn't made his mind up. At the moment, he's running, but ultimately he hasn't made his mind up. So I think that's as clear a signal as you can get that perhaps he will not be running in the next election. Bernard Durkin, as you say, that there is a view that Bernard Durkin, and notwithstanding the fact that some might like him to step down at the next election to retire, that he intends to run again. Joe Carey, as you mentioned, has had some health difficulties that have kept him out of Leinster House the last few months, and there are, I would say, there are doubts about him running again. And Ivan, I hear the same rumours as you, and they are only rumours, I must stress that, but in relation to Simon Coveney and his intention to run again. I mean, it's often in politics that politicians, and it's kind of an article of faith, that you are running again until you are not running again. And that's often been the case for many politicians down through the years. So,
and added to that,
he has said publicly that he's running again, but there are persistent rumours that he may not. And as you say as well, just in terms of Pascal Donoghue, obviously has missed out on the IMF job, but was definitely interested in it, allowed his name to be floated, allowed his name to be considered. But obviously, Kristina Lina Georgieva is running for a second term. But there is a view among some people who speak to Pascal Donoghue and know Pascal Donoghue that he, you know, if another international job of some standing was to present itself, he might well put himself in the frame for that.
But for a senior minister, it's worse than running till not running. If they ring up Leo and say, I'm actually thinking I mightn't stand next time, he will forthwith say, look, I need to, you've got a top job, I need to replace your job. So actually it would be the end of their ministerial career if they intimated that they were standing. So therefore, they have a vested interest in keeping their cards close to their chest.
Yes, absolutely. Now, look, you know, I do think if Pascal Donoghue was to say to Leo Varadkar privately that he was planning to get out of politics after the next election, I don't think that Leo Varadkar would turn around and say, well, look, you have to resign as public expenditure minister or I'm going to remove you from office. But definitely, I mean, I think, you know, TDs in general keep their cards very close to their chest about these decisions. I mean, Kieran Cannon, for example, I think he said yesterday that in January and kind of over Christmas, he had discussions with his wife about stepping down. It seems he decided several weeks ago that he was doing this, but he's only announcing it now. And, you know, most of the TDs who have intimated or said publicly that they're stepping down would have intimated their intentions to Leo Varadkar several weeks before their decision was announced. And all of them have said that Leo Varadkar did try and convince them to stay on. But ultimately, the Taoiseach has been unsuccessful in doing that. Now, he has repeatedly made the case that, look, this is just a natural cycle of politics whereby politicians who've been around an awful long time, you know, have decided to pursue different careers or decided to retire because they're at the kind of retirement age anyway. But look, politics has changed a lot, I think, Ivan. I mean, I know you got out of politics at a very young age, but that was a big surprise, and that was something I think that shocked a lot of people and wasn't very common back then. It is more common now, I think, and it will be more common into the future. And I think that's part of the reason as well for all your Richard Brutons who've been around Leinster House since
43 years,
43 years, you do have the likes of Brendan Griffin, who is a young man and has done 12, 13 years in Leinster House, but lives an awful long way away in Kerry, has not seen his two kids grow up, realised that if he was running again, would not, you know, his kids would be leaving the house by the time he had quit politics. So he's decided to spend those kind of teenage years of his children's life down with them in Kerry and to get pursue a different career. Even, you know, look at the likes of Brian Hayes, for example, who was elected in the 90s, but quit politics in 2014 to pursue a career in the private sector. So, you know, these things happen, and I think they will be increasingly prevalent now in the years going forward. You will no longer have these lifers, these Bernard Durkin, these Richard Brutons, these type of characters. You will have people who might get into politics, do maybe 10 or 15 years and get out and pursue different careers. It just so happens there's a lot of them in Fine Gael now.
Before I let you go, this Oireachtas Committee report into assisted dying, euthanasia, all that, divided views, majority-minority report, I think this can be firmly placed in the in tray of the next government. What do you think?
Oh, I think so, yeah. So the Special Oireachtas Joint Committee on Assisted Dying publishing its final report today. It's expected, I think, to argue for legislation that would apply, that would allow a person diagnosed with an illness or medical condition that is incurable, irreversible, progressive and advanced and will cause death within 6 months to avail of assisted dying, and this time limit to be set at 12 months for anyone with a neurodegenerative condition. But there's some dispute amongst the committee as to the final recommendations of this report. We're expecting a minority report to be produced by the chair of the committee, Michael Healy-Ray, Senator Ronan Mullen and Fianna Fáil TD Robert Troy. But there is zero chance of this report being acted on by the current government, I would say, certainly by way of legislation or anything other than that. And I think the thing to watch now in terms of your listeners interested in this issue is whether the political parties in their manifestos leading up to the next general election pledge to act on this report. And I would say that they would be hesitant about pursuing this issue. It's a very potentially a very divisive issue, potentially something that's, and particularly, you know, off the back of the defeat of the referendums, for example, just something I think that the political parties would be hesitant to pursue in their manifestos leading up to the next election. But as I say, no chance of this government doing anything with this report, anything substantive with this report, I would say.
Hugh O'Connell, Deputy Political Editor for the Irish Independent. Pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for those insights and that analysis. Time for a few quid.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.